You know, the Bible says that in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So we're encouraged in the Bible to not be ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is something, such a powerful thing that can actually make the difference from a person from going to eternal death to eternal life with Him. And oftentimes that is something the enemy wants to take away from us. He wants to take away from us the boldness of sharing Christ with others. And today, I mean, as we talk about winning one soul for Christ in 2020, I really want to emphasize and encourage each and every one of us that we take it seriously. That we don't just, okay, it was a sermon in February or beginning of March that talked about winning one soul for Christ, and then suddenly it's December and I'm thinking, who can I bring for the Christmas service? So it's important that from this day forward, each and every one of us, we think, because whatever place you find yourself in on an everyday life, being work or being your family or being your friends from school or friends from, you know, your childhood, whatever people God has placed around you, if they are non-believers, you and me are salt and light to them, and we can make such a difference for them. So for this year, we have planned out something that many of you are also familiar with from ICS Shanghai, 4 stages of evangelism, where we will plan out different events called No String Attached. What is No String Attached? It means that we have events like Moms Connect, Family Day, Pool Party, Flower Workshop, 1835 social events, where we as a church can actually invite others to come and join. And as they come and join, we are not preaching the gospel to them. We are not. It's just more of building up a relationship with them. And it's the first stepping stone of leading them into church and leading them to salvation. So it actually means no strings attached. They come, they can come, and they enjoy the fellowship together with us. And we are building up relationship. We're building up bridges so that it's easier to take the next steps. Because not everybody is ready to go to church right away, right? Not everybody that you approach and you say, hey, why don't you come with me to a Sunday service? If they're a pre-believer, may not be ready to take that step. But they may be ready to come for a family day. They may be ready to come for a pool party or different kinds of Moms Connect events. The next step is personal testimonies, which we are planning for at the end of this year, approximately around October, to have a movie screening at the Eagle Wing Cinema, which has been really, it's a connection through Wen Shen, which has blessed us with good opportunities of using their facilities, where we will have a Christian movie with a good inspirational message, as well as testimonies at the end of it. So you move from going to more of a social event to hearing a little bit more about the faith. And the next thing is semi-preaching, which is cell groups. So, and cell groups, invitations to cell groups will be ongoing throughout the year, where we can invite those individuals that we brought to No String Attached events, or we bring to the personal testimony event, and where they still get a part of listening to the word, but you don't get the full preaching as you do on a Sunday service. At the same time as it can be one-to-one personal sharing. It doesn't only have to be narrowed to that event that we're planning in October, but also throughout the year as you're walking with that person that God has placed on your heart, to sow seeds of your own testimony, to sow seed of the gospel of Christ, to share about Jesus. So step by step, we are leading them to give their lives to the Lord. And the final thing is full preaching. With you, we invite to a Sunday service, which is ongoing, Easter Sunday, for example, and Christmas service at the end of the year. And Christmas service, once we have walked with a person throughout the year, Christmas service is a good place where they get the gospel of Jesus Christ and where you get to hear why do we celebrate Christmas as well. But also throughout the year, we see the people are ready. We can lead them as well to come join us for a Sunday service. So I want to encourage us as we look at this, and of course, you know, as we monitor also the situation with the coronavirus, some of those things may, we may need to postpone some of those events, but we are still planning them out throughout this year. So we just encourage you, because every person is different. Some people are just ready to come for service. Some people are just in that place right now that if you sit with them, maybe in your office space or a person that you're meeting on a regular basis, suddenly there will just be an openness to share the gospel. But not everybody, every person's journey is different. But as a church, we want to make it possible for us to come around it and realize also why we are doing it, so that we can bring people from one step to the other and we can bring them to their salvation. Amen. So enthusiastic today. I love it. Amen. So let's turn to Acts 10, verse 1 to 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision the angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And what the angel spoke to him, and when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continuously. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. So we find in this passage a story about Cornelius. And as we come to this passage, we find a man that is actually devout. He actually believes in God. But he does not know those steps or the way from believing until giving his life to Jesus. But he still has that faith that there is a God out there. That he still has that faith in God, but he doesn't know how to reach him. Because he doesn't know what Jesus has done for him on the cross. And what is so interesting about this passage is that an angel appears to him, but the angel doesn't share the gospel with him. The angel doesn't share the news with him. The angel comes and he tells him to find this person, Peter. And as he calls for that Peter, Peter is the one who shares the good news with him. Peter is the one who shares the gospel with him and his household. And because of the words of Peter, this person is able to give his life to the Lord. And the people are able to be baptized. And what we need to realize as believers is that you and me, we are called to share the news about Jesus. You know, oftentimes people may have, sometimes we hear of people that may have visions of Jesus. They may have vision, angelic visions, even before they become born again believers. But still they need somebody to tell them what they just saw. They need somebody to explain to them the ways of God and how they take a step from getting a revelation of Jesus Christ that He is alive to actually giving their lives to Him. And that's where you and me are so important. Our lives are so important because for some reason, God has chosen you and me as human vessels to lead people to Christ. And it doesn't matter what age we are, how if you're youth, if you're kids, or if you're grown-ups. At any age, all of us are called to give Jesus to people. And there is a call to stand up in boldness and not shy away from the truth of the gospel. You know, because many people are seeking God, but they don't know how to take the step into salvation. Many people are wondering, who is this Jesus? And some of their hearts are even ready at this point, but they may be missing the person that can actually take them from one step to the other. And you know, when I was 12 years old, I believed in God. You know, as an Icelandic person, you still have that faith in God, but you may not know the steps to take to Christ. And I remember when I was 12 years old, and I was sitting on a hill close to my house, and I was just crying out to God and saying, God, because I was going through a depression, I was going through a difficult time, 12, 13 year old. And I just said, God, if you are out there, please help me. But I did not know how to get closer to God. It was not until God sent my friend to me that was actually able to show me the way, the steps to take, so that a salvation could come into my life and the help could come into my life. And that is how Peter was to Cornelius, and that is how you and me are to non-believers. You and me, we need to show them the way to Christ. You know, there is one thing to live our lives and just go about our days and just hope that maybe if God shows an angelic vision, I will tell this person about Christ. Or if he will write something on the wall, okay, I will take it as a sign. But in our everyday life, we need to constantly be willing to share the faith. We need to constantly be willing to not stray away from what has been given to us. So going back to Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, but also for the Greek. So what is this gospel that has been given to us? It is the power of God for salvation. Have you ever meditated on those words? You know, the gospel of Christ is the good news. Gospel means the good news. So you and me, we have been given the good news because it is the power of God, that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, that Jesus died for us a terrible death, that Jesus rose again, and that now today he gives it to everyone as a free gift if they are willing to receive it. You and me, we're only few words away from sharing that with someone. It doesn't need to be very complicated when you sit down with someone and they're, especially when their hearts are ready and they're asking us questions. What we need to realize is that these are not our words. When we share the gospel of Jesus, it's not up to us to convince them. You know, honestly, I don't like getting into a big debate with people about faith because I know it doesn't get me anywhere. Most of the time when people are debating my faith or debating Christianity with me, being unbelievers, they're actually just waiting for me not to have the answer. Most of the time, they're just trying to be provocative. And oftentimes, I actually choose not to take part in those conversations. I can stand for the faith, but if I feel like things are being provocative, there is no point in it. But there is another thing when we get to share our faith. When we get to share our testimony, when we get to share about the love of Christ. Because at the end of the day, we don't need to, at the beginning of the journey, we don't have to convince them that God created the earth. We don't have to convince them about every single detail in the Bible. But what we need to get across is that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, and what God has done in our lives. And you know, sometimes people think that, oh, but I don't have such a fancy testimony. I've been raised up in church. I've been Christian all my life. I really don't have anything to share. But honestly, when you think about it, most people will actually be able to identify with down-to-earth testimonies. Not everybody has gone through a life where they have to overcome addiction, they have to overcome drugs problem and so on. And you know, when we listen to those Christians that have come to Christ and they have come from such a dark background and they come to God, most people in this world may not be able to identify with it. Most people are actually just like you and me. And they will be able to identify with that life that you have in Christ. That maybe on your daily basis, how you have experienced his faithfulness. Maybe on a daily basis, how you experienced that God has brought you through. When you, for example, during this time of the coronavirus, having hope when others have fear. Not having to have to go to the store and get all the toilet papers. Not having to have to go to the store and get all the rice in the store. But you can actually, because of peace, you're able to know that your hope is in something greater. Your hope is beyond that. You know, my husband went to the store when everybody was going all over the place to get toilet paper, to get rice. And he was actually just going to get a very simple thing. And then he sent me this picture from the store where it was crowded with people and everybody was just filling up. And, you know, but it shows how vulnerable we are. It shows the vulnerability of humanity. That as soon as crisis comes, we don't know what to reach to. And the first thing we start to reach to is something that is concrete, like toilet paper. Or something that will fill our stomach, like instant noodles. And I think, yeah, some of you were saying people would probably die first from the instant noodles than actually the virus. So, but there is that humanity in us that we want something that we can hold on to, something that gives us comfort. But it's during this time that you and me, we need to shine even brighter. And we don't have to make it so complicated. It can be a one word of hope to someone. It can be that instead of when they're opening up about the fear, we can actually bring hope in there. We can bring comfort. We can bring Jesus. So, or we can choose to give a smile. You know, I heard a testimony from a person that before she became a believer, there was a Christian that just smiled to her. And that smile gave her hope when she was without hope. So sometimes we need so little, but we are so afraid of doing it. But what we need to realize is that you and me, we are the hands of God right now. And there is a people out there that just need to know that there is hope for them if they choose to give their lives to Christ. If they choose to turn away from everything that is keeping them in bondage, and giving their life to someone that actually wants to free them. But it needs to come. Something needs to happen on the inside of us. Because we cannot become believers that just like are satisfied with never sharing the faith. Satisfied with never reaching out. Satisfied with not having to be light. We need to have that thinking and that drive and that desire. You know, some of us ladies have been talking about that. It's easy when you go for Panicure and Medicare, right? To share Christ. So there are different places, different ways, where in our everyday life, where we can share the good news of who He is. Matthew 5, 13 and 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives a light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the Bible is telling us we are the salt and we are the light. And you know, when it comes to a light, it's very easy. The light does not shine very bright if we put something over it, if we cover it. But God's encouragement is let your light shine. Let it shine bright. Allow yourself. You know, it's we are in the world, but we should not be off the world. It's okay to be among the non-believers. We should not isolate ourselves and just be like, oh, I can only be with believers. That's my comfort zone. Everything outside of that, it may be too much temptation, too much things going on. You know, definitely not. We still need to have the community. We need a community of non-believers. You know, one of the community me and my husband have is playing soccer with people. And it's a lot of fun when you play soccer with people and they ask you, what are you doing? You say you're a pastor. Because they don't know how to put those things together. But it gives opportunities. It gives opportunities both to share. It gives opportunities to build up relationships as well. So all of us, we need different kinds of places where we are building up that network with non-believers, pre-believers. And then in the midst of that network, maybe God doesn't point to 10 of them, but maybe God points to one, or he points to one family. And he says, believe for their salvation. Start praying for their salvation. Start taking them seriously in your prayer closet every single morning, every single day, and believe for their salvation. Because some of us sitting here today, someone believed for our salvation. I know that it was someone that believed for my salvation. It was someone that prayed for my salvation. And the most precious things that we can take with us when we leave this earth is leading someone to the Lord. So we are the lights and the salts of the earth. You know, what was the purpose of salt? Salt, it brings taste to food. And the same thing with us. We need to make our society better through our presence. We should definitely not be making it worse. We should definitely not be making it more complicated. You know, we gave, a few weeks back, we gave some masks out that was for us to give to somebody that is in a need. Somebody, some families or individuals that may have been in need of it. Sometimes it doesn't need to be a big thing to be a light. Sometimes it doesn't, as I say, it doesn't need to be too complicated. But in the society that we live, in the working place that we are, among the friends that we are, the group of friends that we find ourselves in, you and me, we need to make that place better. And it doesn't mean that we have to be the center of attention or we have to put on a show. It can be that smile. It can be that love of Christ. Remembering them, seeing them, sending them a small message and just saying, hey, all is well with your family during this time. Just want you to know I'm keeping you in prayer. You know, small things like that could be a big token to them. Could make all the difference for them, because we don't know what is happening in the heart of man. People may come and they may look like everything, you know, I'm not fearful, I'm not afraid, but on the inside there may still be fear. And small words of appreciation, small words that can give light or be a salt, can make a difference for those individuals. It also, salt before would also keep the food from getting bad. You know, they didn't have any refrigerators. They didn't have anything to cool down the food during the times of Jesus. So salt will be of a big importance. And the same thing with this world today, you know. We need to be that light. We need to be that salt of the earth. We need to be someone that makes this place better. That in the midst of hopelessness, we can bring hope. In the midst of darkness, we can bring light. And that is what God has called each and every one of us. I hear some of those believers say, but I'm not an evangelist. I'm not called to share my faith. It's for so-and-so. It's for people like Jasmine. Or if somebody is going through something, I'll call for my pastor to share the faith, which can be done as well. I'm not saying that. I'm here to support. But at the end of the day, that same anointing to share Jesus Christ is in your life. That same power is in your life. And coming from you as a friend or someone they trust can have so much greater influence on their lives than coming from a stranger. Because you build up friendship, and from that friendship you're able to share Christ. You're able to share your faith. And we should not take it lightly. Because it's so easy to go through each day and not think about the lost. But I believe the Lord wants to stir that up in each and every one of us. That we are aware that there are people out there. That may, even like Jasmine was saying, you know, this man that wanted to take his life, if his wife would pass away, he wanted to end his own life. That's where you and me, we can bring hope, and we can bring life, and we can bring restoration. But we need to allow the Spirit of God to build up that boldness within us. And we always need to be aware and to make sure that people do not become the objects of our evangelism. rather objects of our love. Because people will know the difference if they are just one of the many manufactured people that we are trying to bring to Christ to get a trophy. People will see if there's a genuine love behind it. And that's where the work of the Holy Spirit comes in. He can bring up that genuine love for people around us that do not have Christ. He can bring up love for people that are even the most difficult people to deal with. But sometimes the most difficult people, the most lost people in the world, are the ones that when they turn to Christ, they will be the most. They will be the ones that have the greatest fire for Christ, because they know where they have come from and where they have come to. So people can never become something that we just manufacture. We can never be motivated by numbers. We need to be motivated by the fact that just as Jesus came to save the lost, so he has called us to bring the lost into his kingdom. I mean, when we look at the Bible, we see that Jesus, everywhere where he went, he was looking for the lost. He was looking for the lost of the humanity. And it was never about numbers for him. It was never about, okay, I bring you from states 1 to 4. So even though we do those things as a church, we have those stages. But at the end of the day, that is to help us to bring people from one place to the other. But at the end of the day, we also need to look at it from God's perspective. That it's not just something we do, but we do it because of the love that we have for people. Because of the love of Christ that he has placed into our heart, that we don't want to see people spend the rest of eternity in hell. We want to see them spend the rest of eternity in heaven. And when we have that motivation, it becomes a part of our everyday life. It becomes a part of how we think when we are meeting different individuals, when we are meeting new faces, when we are in a group setting. We think about it. How can I be a salt and light at this moment of time? My actions at this point of time, do they speak loud enough so that people can see Christ? Or am I living my life just the same way as everybody else? So they, when they look at my life, they wonder, okay, there is nothing different. So why should I give my life to God? So as we draw close to God, as we draw close to him as a church, as we draw close to him as individuals, that love of Christ will be so visible through us. And it may just need, as I said, maybe it's just one text of reminding them that during this time, I'm keeping your family in prayer. I just want you to know that I am keeping you in prayer, and I hope all is well with you. I hope your family is doing well. So as God reminds us of different faces and different individuals, he also gives us the boldness and the wisdom to reach their hearts. He gives us the boldness to speak the right words at the right time. And sometimes there will be divine opportunities where we just sit alone, one-on-one. Maybe everybody else has left from the office on a break, and you're sitting one-on-one with this person, and there is divine opportunity and openness to share Christ. It's during those moments that we need to open up our mouth, because it may not come in an angelic vision, but it's during those moments we may just need to start and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. I mean, believe me, there have been so many times where I have been sensing, sitting with some of my family members at a kitchen table, and it's the perfect opportunity to share God. And everything within you is shaking, because you, at the end of the day, you may feel intimidated, you may feel afraid, but the moment you start to open up your mouth, you sense how the Holy Spirit gives the boldness that is needed. You sense how the Holy Spirit gives the power that is needed. Because in our weakness, he is strong. It's okay that we are weak, but we need to realize that he is strong and that he has the power. And it's not my words. At the end of the day, it's not my gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's up to him to back it up. It's up to him to give the power. It's up to him to give the strength. Amen. In closing, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to him, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So it is a commandment from God. It is a commandment from Christ to go and make disciples of all the nations. So as a church, as we reach out to our community, as we reach out to our friends, because at the end of the day, honestly, the greatest and strongest evangelism is friendship evangelism, where you have built up a good foundation, the people trust you, and from that, they are being led step by step to give their lives to God. But it's also the call to make disciples. So what do we do as a church when it comes to the new believers? One of those things that we do is that if there's a new believer among us, we will connect them with one of the cell group leaders. And the cell group leaders or someone in their cell group will go through Gate to Life with them. That is one of the steps. Another step is that I do plan from end of April to start a once a month discipleship class, where I will teach on the different topics of the faith. And this will not only be for non-believers, it will also be for you as believers. But even though there will be two people there, I will do it. So for me, it's not about the numbers, but it's about whoever is willing to be there and wants to be there at the same time as we see new believers among us, that they can come and join that as well. So those are some of those things that we're doing at this point of time, as well as we schedule seminars throughout the year where we'll get guest speakers to speak on different topics as well. And much is done within the cell groups. As they join cell groups as well, they can get that maturity in Christ as well to be able to ask questions and people to journey with them. So I just want to encourage us as a church, because there are so many people out there that have still not given their lives to God. And I want to encourage each and every one of us. And I want to take a time right now where we take a moment and just ask the Lord, who is that one person or one family? Or if there's multiple people, I'm not saying once you have led one person to Christ, you should take a holiday for the rest of the year. That's not my words. Point being is just, let's at least believe for one person, each of them, being youth, the same with the kids, the same for us as the main. Let's believe for one person at least to give their lives to the Lord. And that as a church, we give those four steps so that we can help to lead them step by step into the kingdom of God. And then as they come into church, we also want to see them mature in their faith. Amen. So let's take a moment right now and let's ask the Lord. Most of you should have received the bulletin, right? I did not receive my copy. But inside the bulletin, you will find a paper. And on that paper, after we've taken a few minutes now and just asked the Lord, you can write down the name of the person that you are believing the Lord for this year. And what we are going to do as a church is that every other Wednesday we have prayer. And if you need pens, you can also raise your hands and the hospitality can give you pens. But what we're going to do every other Wednesday, once you have written the name down, there is a prayer box outside. Some of you have already used the prayer box. Some of you have maybe not even aware that we have a prayer box. But outside, you will find a prayer box. You can put the name of that person, if you want, into that box. And every other Wednesday when we come together for prayer, we're going to pray for those names. Now, maybe not mention them by name, but we will lay hands on them and we will pray for their salvation. So together, it's something we do together as a church. That we don't journey alone, but we can journey together in this. So let's, as we take a moment, we pray, we ask the Lord. You can write it down, and then after the service, you can bring it to the box outside, and we will pray for them as well. If I could also get a copy of a bulletin. Thank you. Hallelujah, Father God. Father, we just praise you and we worship you this morning, God.